Hello, everybody. I hope everybody is doing great. This is Special Education Information. My name is Joy Marie, and let's get this started. I wanted to talk today about the kind of training that special education teachers have to get their credential. And that is because I don't think a lot of people who are not in the special ed or education field really realize how much time and effort it does take us to get through the system so that we can finally teach. With regular teaching, you start off, you have to get your bachelor's degree and in a related field. And then most places I've noticed teachers will go on for their master's degree, but if not, then they'll go for the credential that follows after the bachelor's degree. And we'll work pretty hard to get a hold of that. But I didn't go that route. I went for the master's. So I'm going to tell you from my perspective and sort of what I've gone through so you can appreciate what other teachers are doing. And that way you know your kids are in good hands. There are different ways to get into the classroom as a teacher, certified, fully certified, but different ways to get there. One of the ways is that you get your bachelor's degree and then you stick around and you work on your credential, which is about a 2-year program. I did it different. I got my bachelor's degree with child emphasis, so I was all ready to go. And then I went out and got my master's degree in special education. For some programs, for either master's degree or even just a credential that are special ed, some of the universities want you to have time having volunteered and worked with the population that you want to spend the rest of your life working with before they'll accept you into the program. So when you're looking around for schools, make sure you check into that so you're not caught off guard by all of a sudden having to do an extra 60 hours in a school somewhere when you were thinking you were going to be going off to the university of your choice. Some people, after they get their master's degree, they decide to go straight into a doctoral program. But I want you to think about it. I want you to think about before doing that. Because you're not going to have a lot of experience to pull from, and that makes it harder in some senses when you're trying to write your papers for your doctoral census. I've been working on my doctorate now for a semester, which isn't very long, but I can tell you that the experiences I've had teaching, I've already pulled from for just this last couple terms. So think about that. The reality is how much time you spend in practicum and in internships and even out with doing research studies and you're interacting with the kids, it's not going to be the same as when you are responsible for those children every single day for the school year. And you need to write the reports for them, and you need to do the lesson plans, and you need to do their tests, and most importantly, what you need to have to deal with and learn how to deal with is working with parents who can sometimes be difficult, but sometimes you can get some really great parents too, and I've really worked with some, and I so appreciate them because they really kept my self-esteem as a teacher up high, because you can have one minute where a parent is upset with you because you're not teaching their child algebra when they are barely doing their multiplication tables, but you still feel bad. And then you get the other parent that comes in and says, thank you, my child is who they are, which is wonderful because of you. And that is awesome stuff to hear. And you really need to learn how to deal with parents on both sides of that aisle and how to work with team members. And that's good and bad. Also, you have some team members, it's flexible, easy to go, works with you. And then you have some that as soon as you turn your back, they undermine you with the kid. And how do you deal with that? And that's all stuff that you're not going to find out if you just go straight back into school. So I would just recommend highly that you go back out there and teach for a while, either itinerant or as a classroom teacher, depending on your specialty, and really just spend a couple years doing it and seeing what it's like to be fully responsible for your own caseload. But that's my 2 cents. just keep that in mind when you're making your decisions as to where you're going to go after you have your teaching credential. Anyway, so let's go back to the master's degree discussion. And with that, you're going to find that you still have to take classes that are required of you, but that are not in your direct area of study. And that's true for any degree that you get. Even in high school, we had to do that. Some of those classes that you're going to have to take are going to be literature for teaching, math for teaching, culture and language for children, and technology for education. Hopefully that one will be inside your particular area of study. But of course, I do tend to have to do things a little bit different. I knew that the university I was going to was a very good one, and it was a very good one when it came to special ed. And I decided I was going to set those coursework aside because I could take it at any university that offered special ed classes. And instead, I branched out and I took a class in multiple disabilities. And I was lucky the year I took it, we had a guest teacher whose specialty was autism, and she was very good. And the teacher who was running the class, she was very good at what she did. She was difficult, but she was good. I also took the class because I knew that a lot of the kids that I would be working with would have multiple disabilities. And so I thought, let's get a class like that and understand it and get it from a good professor. And I was right. I have had 75% of my students, if not a little higher, have been multiply disabled, and I had the knowledge of what to do when working with students like that, so I've been very grateful that I took the time and put together what I would need in my career to do well. I took a class also about learning disabilities, and I got lucky enough that I had Dr. Nancy Mather from my teacher. She was tough. We had this binder that was like 5 inches thick, and we had to read all these articles that she put together for them. It was quite something, but it really intrigued my fascination with learning disabilities that I kind of already had, but she really upped the game, so to say, of my really wanting to know more about learning disabilities and visual impairments. But sure enough, the state I moved to after school did not have reciprocity for a lot of the classes I took. And so I had to take some of them either over again or in addition to. And that was frustrating. But I enjoyed one or two of the teachers that I had at that university, and that was good. And my supervisor was very accommodating to the schedule I needed to be able to do the schoolwork so I could stay with the school. And what was funny was the technology class I had to take. I walked in, and the two guys who were supervising the class looked at me kind of funny. "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I have to take the class. I'm on your roster." "Well, but you teach this class and you teach your students the stuff we teach in class. You shouldn't have to take this class." I told them, I said, "I know," and I tried to tell her, but she wouldn't listen. So here I am. So instead of making me take the class with them, they took me over to one of the computers who had new software on it and had me play around with it and see if I could get it work with the accessibility materials and software and what have you. And then I gave a presentation about it at the end of class, and that was the class, which was much better than sitting there through stuff that I used to teach. And overall, I really don't regret doing things the way I did. Sure, there was that class that I taught that I had to take that didn't make much sense, but the other classes, for the most part, I learned stuff I didn't know. I used some of the skills that I learned, and I was glad that I didn't have to take those out at my original school because I had the knowledge in my head that I needed for my career. And as I said, the other stuff the math and the reading and everything that I was able to pick up at another university closer to where I live. So it worked out. All right, so here's the semi-bad news about working on your master's degree. Some master's degree, and a lot of them, require a thesis. I can't tell you what that's like at this point, because my master's degree did a performance assessment, and it was kind of interesting. They gave me a bunch of videotapes, and then they gave me a huge packet of things to go through and answer. And essentially what it was assembling my own IEP form and all the stuff that goes with the triannual of an IEP. And then I had to do the presentation to my teachers, who were pretending to be other types of people that you would run into during an IEP. Like, one was, I gotta go, I need to finish up, come on, I'm done, just go, right? So you get that person in their IEP meeting sometimes. Usually it's your principal. And then I had to deal with somebody who was just straight kickback, you know, all's good, this is good. And then the person who's always looking at the bottom line, oh, how much is that going to cost us to do? And how much is it going to cost to do that? And how are we going to do that? So that was my particular taste of master's degree passing, along with a bunch of tests. There were a lot of tests. And then when I went for my state credential, I had to take even more tests. So there is that, just be warned. But if you've enjoyed your degree, and I really enjoyed it, then it shouldn't be too hard, because it's all stuff you've been stuffing into your head the whole time you've been studying. At least I hope so. And so the most nerve-wracking part of all of it was the part in front of my professors. That was definitely the most difficult part of the whole setup, with the second being following up with a math section that I had to do by a different kind of code than is normal. Another thing that I liked about the school that I went to is that we were dropped into practicum at the end of almost the first semester, and definitely by the end of the second semester. And practicum is basically where you're going out, you're hanging out with the kids and the teachers, you get some lesson plans you have to create and then follow through on, and you're keeping a journal and you're interacting with your professor at the university off and on, and so you're in touch constantly, and they're guiding you through the process. And then you start your internship. And it's sort of similar, where you're being put into different places so that you can get to know the different types of kids that you'll be working with. And then I got lucky in that the place nearby, the school nearby, needed a special ed teacher that was of my specialty. And so they got me a paid job to do it. And that was really nice. I thought that was fantastic. So really take the time to enjoy your internship. It's worth it. It's worth every single minute that you're doing it. And when you take your journal, write in detail, heavy duty detail, because you will go back to it at some point. I have several times. And any of your notes that you're taking, make sure you are taking good notes that you can understand 2 years from now. Sometimes when I take notes, I abbreviate things to the point that in 2 years, I can't understand what I was meaning. So don't do that. Don't use too many abbreviations you're not going to understand in a couple of years. When you reach the last part of your semester, or you reach your last semester, just jump in and hang on. You should like it, because now the dirt has hit the wheels, or the wheels has hit the dirt, or however that analogy goes. And you should save everything you get. You should savor every moment. You've only got a semester left to go, and just enjoy it. Ask lots of questions of your professors. If you're not sure, ask. Don't be shy. They want to be there for you to answer your questions. They want students coming out of their program that they can be proud of, that they can point at and say, yeah, that was one of ours. And just that makes them super happy. And it'll make you super happy, because you'll know a whole bunch of stuff. So for those of you who want to get into special ed and just not quite sure what there is that you can learn or go into. I will give you a brief rundown of the ones that I know of for sure. There's speech and language communication. You have physical therapy if you go the angle of studying with kids. Occupational therapy, same thing, angle to go with the kids. And then you have school psychology, which is not being like a psychologist. Everyone gets that mixed up. It's more of they tend to do a lot of the assessment and the testing, and they've learned behaviors, and they're there to support you, but they're not a psychologist. They're very clear on that if you mix it up. Then you have visually impaired and blind that you can go into, and that's fascinating. There's deaf and hard of hearing. If you're good at learning another language, then that's a good one to go into. It's supposed to be pretty fun. And what am I missing? Oh, mild and moderate disabilities. So those are the kids that can just have very minor problems going on to maybe some behavior issues that are enough that it ends up taking them out of a mainstream classroom for most of their day. Then you have moderate severe, and that's pretty much what it sounds like. You get some kids that are really severely disabled and don't always fit real well in a mainstream classroom, although I think that people should find a way to get them into the classroom for some of the day, at least some of the week. I've seen a district who managed to do that, and it was wonderfully done. I think that's about it. Look in the books. You know, I'm sure you'll find some I missed. There should be some new ones out there nowadays. So thank you ahead of time if you're heading into it. We need you. And like in my last podcast, I talked about how teachers burn out. That's the case with special ed as well. And it's unfortunate. We're so desperate for teachers. So desperate. Please just, if you have the heart, know that you can make it through the burnout stage. Just know that you can. And thank you from all of us.